So let's get to some of the stuff that we know that people are gonna want to talk about or want to know about. Medical marijuana did actually pass and was signed by the governor on Monday.
What?
I know. Alabama has passed a form of medical marijuana. I have lived here for 34 years now. My entire existence I've spent in the state of Alabama. Wouldn't have called that one.
Okay.
So there are some very, I don't want to say severe, but strict, let's go with strict,
okay,
limitations on how and where and for whom it can be used.
Okay.
It's really specifically for people who have some very, very serious medical conditions. It's not, you know how when California passed medical marijuana, it was like, oh, if you're feeling sad today, you can just go to the doctor and the doctor like will write you a note and you can get you some weed.
Okay.
That's not what we're doing.
Well, I've had friends, over the course of my life that were prescribed medical marijuana. One had glaucoma, one had hepatitis. There was another had some form of cancer, and they had it because that was the only product they had that could alleviate those pain symptoms.
Oh, 100%. So. And those are some of the ones that are included in ours. Now, I will say this. This is not a smokable medical marijuana bill.
Ah, okay. So this is like tinctures and stuff?
Capsules and gummies, and I believe... This one actually cracked me up a little bit.
Okay.
Suppositories. Okay. You can't make this up.
Yeah.
But I will say, watching
just
the
don't lie to whatever you do.
Just watching some of the debate on this bill as it's worked its way through the legislature has been some very interesting and somewhat at times insane discussions, including there was an argument over what flavor the gummy could be.
If it's a suppository, does it matter?
I mean, maybe some more research needs to be done in that field. I don't know. But I mean, there was some legitimate concern about if you made it too many flavors, would kids maybe like grab one and try to eat it or something like that. And I don't remember what the flavor was that they settled on, but I think it was like an old person flavor, like wintergreen or butterscotch. It's just Werther's original flavored weed gummies, probably. So that has...
And if it's smokable, then it smells like Old Spice, right? or Aqua Velva. Yeah.
Shalimar, actually. Okay. So that has passed, and I think we really will, in all seriousness, we will be able to see some people who will be able to get some help from that. I know from my experience having loved ones who have dealt with cancer, who have pain disorders... seeing them strung out on opioids, especially toward the end of their life, I think this would be a more humane and a better journey for them to be able to actually like still maintain some semblance of being there. Because I can remember a dear friend of mine that passed away from cancer probably about 10 years ago. Toward the end, you know, they were on the morphine, they were on so many of those opioids, they weren't there.
Yeah.
And I think this allows people a little bit more dignity.
Okay.
In terms of their pain management and being able to treat these issues and diseases that they have.
Okay. Well, that's first off, that's excellent. And good job and your team for doing that. And second of all, wow. Just wow.
Yeah, so okay. Medical marijuana in Alabama, people. Mm-hmm. I mean, if you had that long bet, you go collect right now. You making you some money.
Making you some money
this
today.
Week.
Okay. Yeah, I've never really been a proponent of recreational use because I had a friend when he was younger. He got stoned and got in a car wreck and almost killed five people. So, you know, I'm not big on getting drunk either. I don't mind having a drink. But
sure.
I don't like driving under the influence is under the influence. I don't care what the substance is. But my thought is also, if we were going to do recreational, let's do it before Georgia, Mississippi, and Tennessee do it. Because if you look at Colorado, if you look at Massachusetts, those states that have done it, they are raking in the tax revenues, and they are making tons of money. Colorado's operating in the black now. Whereas it was deeply in the red before this. So if we're going to do it, we need to do it before those other three states.
Well, but, you know, this is also Alabama. So there's a higher likelihood of me being named queen of all England, Scotland, Wales, and Northern Ireland than there is of us legalizing recreational.
No, I wouldn't include Ireland in that.
Well, I said Northern Ireland.
Okay.
Yeah,
okay.
No, still part of the United Kingdom.
Okay.
I think that... If it's ever going to be recreational here, I think that would have to come from the federal government. There is a movement there to possibly go in that direction. Although I will say, if you look at President Biden's voting record and where he stood on marijuana over the years, he is very, very staunchly anti-marijuana. I don't know that even if the Congress passed it, I don't know that he would sign it, to be completely honest. Some of the other stuff that we worked on, of course, Representative Simpson's mental health court bill passed earlier in the session, and that gives us the funding to be able to have a mental health court here in Baldwin County, a diversionary court for people with mental health issues to, instead of having to go to jail or you know, go to the county jail, be able to get the kind of mental health treatment and therapy and counseling that they need instead of being a danger to themselves and others in that jail situation. You know, currently the biggest provider of mental health services in Baldwin County and in a lot of our counties in Alabama are the county jails.
Wow. Okay.
So this gives us an ability to divert some of those people into the real counseling and training programs that they would need.
Okay. Yeah. And that, you know, folks against that, stop. You need to stop and think about, okay, if we get them help and they're not crazy anymore, they're not doing bizarre things that need the police, then we can start focusing on the real criminals that are out there doing stuff.
Well, and I will say the funding mechanism for this is actually, it is an increase in the court costs, but it's an increase in criminal court costs. So if you're not a criminal,
You ain't paying for it.
So, you know, we thought that was a very elegant solution to that particular issue.
Okay.
Also passed this session was a bill from Representative Simpson that increased the penalty for home builder fraud, especially after the hurricanes that we've had.
Gosh, okay.
All these people coming in here from out of state, you know, you don't know if they're legit or not. And some of them, you know, I've had some people complain. Some of them, it turned out they weren't. They just took the money and ran.
Mm-hmm.
This bumped that home builder fraud from a misdemeanor charge to a felony charge.
Oh, wonderful. Okay.
So that means, you know, they go back to their home state of like Missouri or Arkansas or wherever. If it's just a misdemeanor charge, the cops there aren't going to ship them back to Alabama or do anything like that on a misdemeanor. They're really not. It's just not worth their time. By upping it to a felony, makes it more likely that they'll be sent back here and people here can get justice and restitution, which is, I mean, especially in the light of all the damage and all the issues that we had last year and what we may have, God forbid, but what we may have this year with the upcoming hurricane season, and not just hurricane season, I mean the tornadoes throughout the rest of the state. I mean, this is a statewide bill. It's going to help people around the state of Alabama, so we're really proud of that one.
That's fantastic.
Senator,
because I you know, personally know several people that, you know, they gave somebody their money and the folks never showed up again after that. You know, they might come out for one day and, you know, just to make an appearance and then leave.
Well, reach out to the district attorney because it's a felony level offense now, and they're going to be able to go after that. Senator Elliott had some great bills passed this session, including one that changed the funding mechanism for schools across our state, the foundation program, where every school system is required to put in that 10 mil match. It all goes into a big pot, and it's diverted across the state based on the student population. Well, he made a change to it to where in the past, before his bill was passed, growing systems like ours, the numbers that you get your funding on, like the amount of funding we got this year was based on the number of students that we had last year.
Okay.
Well, we all know Baldwin County, we're growing by leaps and bounds,
about
500 to 600 students a year. So we're missing those 500 or 600 kids in our funding from the state.
Mm-hmm.
So we were having to make up that money with local dollars, which thankfully is Baldwin County. We're able to do that.
Yeah, but not every county's
not
in
every
that,
county
in
can.
That situation.
So thanks to Senator Elliott's bill, now when the funding comes through every year, it will be based on those new numbers. We'll be able to get the funding for these kids that we currently have now. So that means that those five or six hundred kids will get our state funding that we're supposed to get for that. So the local money that we were using to supplement not getting the money from those kids for the state, we can provide other programs, do other things with that money. So it's a win-win for everybody on that one.
Wow, that is good.
Okay. And news that just came out yesterday, late yesterday.
This just in.
Representative McMillan's doggy dining bill was signed by the governor yesterday.
Doggy dining bill.
Okay,
what is a doggy dining bill?
Okay, well, now, Mark, you and I, we live in Fairhope.
Right.
And people love their dogs here. We know that.
Yes,
people,
they do.
And they take their dogs everywhere. And you and I both know that there are restaurants where, like, people will take their dogs and go eat. And they're technically, up until that bill had been signed, you're technically not supposed to do that.
Okay.
It had been...
Unless they're a service animal.
Unless they're a service animal. That has technically been not allowed. Thanks to Representative McMillan's bill, you can take your dog. I think it takes effect in, like, August. But you'll be able to bring your dog if they have an outdoor dining option at wherever you're, whatever restaurant or anything you're going. You can bring your dog with you.
Okay, so dogs are now allowed in outdoor dining situation. Not indoor. And just any dog. Doesn't have to be a service dog.
Doesn't have to be a service dog. Can be any Fido or Spud or... My sister named her Beagle Jelly Bean. It was the dumbest name
Jelly
for a
Bean.
Dog.
Jelly Bean. Yeah, my dad named our Beagle Falstaff, so.
That's better than Jelly Bean. as a British literature major, like, I am all for that one.
Well, this was named after a cheap beer back in the 70s. So.
See, I was going for the literary reference, but, I love from Columbia. Now I know what you're going to ask me next, because
okay.
I Mark, you and I have known each other for years now. I know where your mind is going on
okay.
this one. You're going to ask me about gambling.
Okay. Yep.
The legislature was not able to reach a compromise decision on what they wanted to do on the gambling matter.
Okay.
There was a lot of jockeying back and forth about what kind of gambling could be legalized, where the money would go that was raised by the gaming, where that money would go in terms of, would it go to the education trust fund, would it go to the general fund budget. There was really no agreement to be had there, so... there's a possibility, I would say maybe a strong possibility, that there could be a special session later this year, maybe later this summer or in the fall, to address specifically the gaming issue, because the legislature knows this is something that has been important to the people of Alabama and will continue to be important to the people
of
Alabama.
Well, sure. Anybody that's been at any gas station near the Florida border... when the lottery gets up to $100 million or whatever, knows that, you know what, there's a lot of Alabama dollars going across into Alabama, Georgia. I don't know if Tennessee has it or not, but
Tennessee does. And again, coming from Opelika, Auburn, it's the same thing bleeding over into the Georgia border. Anytime that Powerball hit like $100 million or more, there'd be this
huge line of cars
right there. And I'll tell you exactly where it is. You go down 85. It's the Frisky Whiskey is the first stop
to the Frisky Whiskey
right there over the line in Georgia. You can get your scratch off tickets, your Powerball tickets, and to be honest, they had a very good bourbon selection.
Really? At the Frisky Whiskey?
At the Frisky Whiskey. Shocking, I know. So that's something we're going to be looking at. There will also maybe, more than likely, be a special session to deal with the prison issue.
Okay.
The governor presented her plan. There have been some issues with that. Some of the financial backing has fallen out on the prison, her prison plan. It would not surprise me to see a special session of the legislature to deal with what we're going to do about our prisons.
Okay, the prison plan. What are they doing? What are they trying to do? How are they trying to reform this?
We've been under that Department of Justice suit due to the conditions and especially the overcrowding in our prison, right. in our prisons. So the governor presented a plan that would have us leasing prisons from a private company for, I believe it was like 25 or 30 years for a certain amount of money. However, even with that plan, it didn't fully address the overcrowding issue. Even if they had built the new prisons, we still would have been overcrowded in some of those areas.
Okay.
The legislature is looking at several options, including just the state building its own prisons, making renovations and updates to existing ones. And Senator Elliott said this. I gestured to the empty chair like he's sitting here because I've lost my mind, apparently. But
okay, yeah.
Normally he sits there when he's here.
Yeah.
And he said in the past, we have an existing facility that was built in Perry County that has never been used.
Like, really?
Yeah. Although it's hard to find staff there. Perry County, you know, just a little bit south of Montgomery.
So it's remote and
it's very rural. Hard to find people to work there.
Staff. Okay. Because that happens a lot with prisons. You don't want it near a population center where people live because it's prison and you don't want the chance of escape into a general population. But you got to have population to service it, so you've got to find that balance.
No, it's a very weird little thing there. So the legislature is going to be looking at a number of options there. There will more than likely be a special session to deal with that issue again, probably maybe late summer, early fall. And then there will definitely have to be a special session to deal with redistricting because the census numbers were a little bit delayed in coming out. It is the responsibility of the Alabama legislature to change those borderlines for our congressional districts, like our federal congressional districts, as well as all of the state Senate and state House districts.
Okay.
So based on population, those lines are going to have to move. Some Baldwin County, we've seen a very large amount of growth. So,
in fact, I saw a notice just last week that Baldwin County has surpassed Mobile County in terms of population.
Montgomery.
Yes, Montgomery.
So, yeah, we're now the fourth largest county in the state. And I don't know if you've seen some of the other projections. We're projected to hit above 300,000 in population by 2045, I believe.
Good Lord. Okay.
Which I know sounds absolutely insane, but I mean that's wow. It's 24 years from now. That's a progression.
I'll probably be gone by then. So yeah.
So will I. We all know I'm one cheeseburger away from that great Fred Sanford heart attack that'll take me and see Elizabeth.
I'm coming.
Yeah. So there will be a special session for that redistricting, and I don't know that Baldwin County will necessarily pick up a representative or even a senator. I think they'll just tighten up our lines a little bit. That we've had some population growth, but mm-hmm. not enough to warrant the giving of like a new House seat or a new Senate seat. Of that nature.
Okay, is it close to that, or is it?
It's one of those things. The way they draw those maps,
you've got to gerrymander it really good. Yeah.
Well, you know, you have to consider incumbency in that, and we've got a number of people that are going to run for their seats again.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, the election's coming up next year. Qualifying actually begins, I think, next week. So you'll start to see people announcing for state senate, state rep, and then all of our statewide offices are actually up for election next year as well. So from governor on down.
Okay.
So it's gonna be an interesting and fun year politically to see who pops up and decides they're gonna throw their name in the hat, see who's gonna run, and we'll just go from there.
Okay. So are you ever gonna run? Do you think?
I got to give you the full UDAL on that one. if nominated, I will not accept, and if elected, I will flee to Mexico.
Okay.
You know, there's some people that are cut out for public office.
Sure.
That enjoy that kind of race. You know, enjoy the race and enjoy all. I like to be, like, you know, the guy in the back room, like, the one who's, like, making the phone. Like, I enjoy what I get to do for the delegation now. Like, I get to make phone calls and so send the emails.
You are the puppet master pulling the strings behind
the
curtain.
Oh, good Lord, no. I'm just the guy who calls the state and is just like, hey, can you please help our people with, like, this unemployment thing they have? Or, hey, we've got a boat ramp that's messed up down here. Can you guys, like, come down here and look at it and fix it? Because it's summer and people want to go out on the water. Like, I like that what I get to do gets to help people directly, and I don't have to deal with the huge consequences of if I vote for this, this will happen. If I vote against this, this will happen. I don't, you don't want me making those decisions.
Okay.
Like things that actually affect people's lives and could change them drastically, you don't want me making those decisions.
Okay. See, I've always thought that, you know, I would make a good politician because I look good, I speak well, and with my memory, I can't remember a damn thing. So that would make me a great politician. But honestly, sitting in those meetings and listening to people drone, because they always talk like this, they're talking like this, and then they talk like this some more, and we're talking about, and they're just listing facts over. I could not. I just couldn't.
Well, and you know, it's we had two marathon days, like the last 2 days of session. I mean, they went well into like 11. I think they finally gaveled out Monday night at like 11:58.
Wow.
Okay. So I mean, they were good there. Session. They were there all day trying to get stuff done. And so there's a legislative video, and Mr. Faust, who's our representative here for Fairhope. I mean, you can tell they were working, doing everything hard. Because I mean, like Mr. Faust was there all day, and bless him, he had to eat his lunch. There at the there at his desk on Monday. In fact, there was one point where I got a text message and it was like, man, you know they're working hard when Mr. Joe's having to sit there at his desk eating lunch, and there he was just, you know, having a little pudding cup as his dessert as he was finishing up there, because he didn't want to leave the floor in case they were voting on something important. So we've got a great group of legislators here in Baldwin County that really do their job to try to make sure our constituents here get what they need, get their fair share of stuff back from Montgomery, and we're going to continue to do that.
Okay, now, and if folks need help with the legislature or need things dealing with the state locally, they're to call you, correct?
Yeah, call our office, 990-4615. Either Bryn or Jennifer will answer, and they'll get your stuff down. Or if one of them is out, I'll answer the phone. We'll get you. If we're not there for some reason, I don't know why we wouldn't be. Lunch, maybe. I don't know. Leave a message. We'll get back to you. We'll do whatever we can to help.
And that number again, 990-4615.
That's correct.
All right. Remember, he's from the government.
And I'm here to help.
Oh, we're doomed.
We really are.
All right. Thank you, Cliff McCullum. What's the actual?
The Director of Constituent Services for the Baldwin County Legislative Delegation. It is ridiculously long and poncy.
Okay. But everyone considers him the concierge of the county. All right. Thank you, Cliff.
Yes, sir.
You're going to stick around for Swap Shop, right?
Oh, of course. Wouldn't miss it for the world.
Okay. All right. Well, we're going to take a quick break, and we'll be back in just a moment.
Through the years, there are so many family memories.